Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I'm actually going to break this phrase into two pieces. Consider it over the next 2 weeks. This week, I want to consider the idea of our debts. Forgive us our debts. Now, I was suggesting last week about the word bread that it had many meanings below or beyond the surface meaning of bread. And I'm going to suggest the same thing this morning about the word debts. But first, it's an amazing coincidence. I got this in the mail this week from Discover. It's a card that has on it debt eraser. I could just call them and they will erase all my debts. Isn't that great? That was so fortunate. So it really changes my whole sermon. Just look in your mail and your problems are solved. It's interesting. It was not signed. I don't think so. Unless Discover Card is, yeah, has really gotten some new employees working for them. Debt. It's something that I think many of us, and maybe most of us, have a love-hate relationship with. And let's talk just at the financial level here first. And that's what this word here, this Greek word that's used for debts, and I won't butcher its pronunciation for you. It's used a few times in Scripture, pretty rare, often about finances. And I think most of us, when we hear the word debts, initially might think money, finances. And the reality is most of us probably do not want to be in debt, and yet probably most of us have debts. I mean, how many of us here have mortgages that we pay? Or maybe car payments? Or maybe some of you student loans or credit card debt or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, our whole society is really built on credit and debt. And it was Alexander Hamilton who first figured that one out way back. Now imagine that one day you get a call, maybe this afternoon your phone rings, and it's your bank where you have your mortgage. And they say to you, you know what? We're feeling generous today. We're going to forgive your debt. Just take your mortgage, just rip it up. It's forgiven. House is yours. Imagine the credit card company calls you and says, you know, that debt you've been running, yeah, we're just going to forgive it. Cancel it. Imagine the government calling you with your student loan, saying, you know what? You've been so good, we're just going to forgive it. Now, I wouldn't hold your breath for any of those calls, but imagine how you might feel. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Forgive us our debts, we say in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts. That's what we're asking. Just forgive them. Cancel them. Remember them no more. It was the ancient Christian writer Origen who I think first proposed three levels of debt that we all owe. And this is beyond the financial. Origen said, you know, we have debts. He said, in fact, every person, every hour, every day is a debtor. He began that by saying, we are indebted to ourselves. We have an obligation to ourselves, to our bodies, he said. We have a debt to our bodies, an obligation to feed them good food and give them some exercise and clean air. He said we owe a debt to our minds, to keep them well fed, to keep learning, to not put garbage in, but good things. Most of us are already in debt big time in those regards, what we put in our bodies and our minds. And then Origen said, we owe a debt to our own soul to keep it pure and clean and on God's path. Then Origen said, you know, we also owe debts to others, many others. And I would invite you this morning to think about people you are indebted to. People who have given you something of themselves. People who have cared for you, tended to you, changed your life in some way. One of the most obvious is all of us were once babies. And someone cared for us, tended for us. Parents, maybe grandparents, maybe a foster parent or family, maybe some other relative, maybe a brother or sister, an older sibling who helped provide care for you. I was talking along these lines a bit with my mother when she was earlier in the hospital. It was we've been trying to be with her around the clock, and I was on the evening shift that evening, and we were talking, and she was saying, I'm so glad, you know, it's so nice you're doing this. And I said, well, you know, I owe you. I mean, not just the obvious of, you know, I'm your child. I wouldn't be here except for you. But, and I've said this before, I was born almost 2 months premature and was in the hospital quite a while before I was allowed to go home because I was still tiny. I was about 3 pounds. And my mother has told me over the years, you know, even when I came home, I was had to be fed. They were trying to pump calories into me. I wish that were true, how things have changed. But, and she's told me, I was getting up and feeding you about every 2 hours, and she said, and it would take you about an hour and 15 minutes to eat that bottle each time. So, I mean, in essence, she was, you know, there round the clock caring for me. And, that's a debt I can never repay. Not that my mom wants it repaid. But I can't even begin to repay that debt. I was thinking as well of another family member, my grandpa Pierce. Last week I mentioned my grandma Pierce with the sugar cookies, my mom's father and mother. My grandpa Pierce was quite old by the time I was the youngest in my family, and I was sort of aware. He had retired after a lifetime in education at various levels and was fairly troubled in his retirement. I didn't know this. There's one moment, one very distinct memory I have of my grandpa Pierce. It's just before they went into the nursing home, or he went into the nursing home. They had a beautiful old house, and he had this study with a bookcase, a beautiful old bookcase. And one of the bookcases with the glass panels in front that you lift up, and you would open that, and the smell of the books and the wood, I can still smell it right now. But I remember, I was 8 years old, and I remember him giving me a book. Now, this is a totally worthless book. I've got it here. It's called Six Great Stories. It's an old textbook from the 30s. It even has stamped on the back, for examination. You know, it's worth nothing. And it's got stories in it, edited, condensed versions of stories like The Legend of Sleepy Hollow and Treasure Island, which is where I first read those. My grandfather gave me this book. I'm 8 years old. I already was a reader, but I remember him giving me this book, and he didn't just give it to me. He inscribed it to me using my formal name, to Stephen Elderbrock. No one ever called me that. To Stephen Elderbrock from Grandpa and Grandma Pierce, October 13th, 1975. This was something valuable given to me, not with any financial value, but I learned my grandfather treasures books and treasures me to give it to me. I have a lot of books, and I keep buying them, but I would give them all up in order to keep this one, the most valuable one I own. I was taught a love of books. That's a debt I can never repay. Think about what people have given you, the love they have shown you over the years. I think as well of my friend in college that taught me to love baseball, which has given me many moments of pleasure since then. When I started making a list of people that I owe a debt to, I stopped after about three pages. We owe debts to all sorts of people who have tended us, cared for us, loved us, given to us, guided us. Debts we can never repay. And finally, of course, there's the third level of debt, our debt to God. The debt of sin and disobedience, that God wants us to live a certain way for our own good, and we humans always go the other way. We are disobedient creatures, we humans. We are sinful. And we owe a debt. And this is the whole idea of Jesus coming to earth on the cross. And there are all sorts of theories about how that worked. Jesus dying on the cross, being raised from the dead, paying for our sins. But the important point is, it was a debt being paid for us. A debt we could never pay. Justice demanded payment, and Jesus paid it for us. Now, we still sin, but the debt of sin no longer weighs us down. It has been paid for us. You thought it was amazing to think about your mortgage company calling you and saying, tear up your mortgage? That's what God has said to us with our debt. Tear it up. Just like in the story in Matthew's gospel, the king says to the servant, forget the debt, canceled, forgiven. And as Jesus reminds Simon the Pharisee, we all are indebted far beyond we can ever repay to ourselves, to many others, and to God. And that's where love comes in. Who will love God more? Jesus asks. Who will love the Master more? Well, the one who's been forgiven the greatest debt, I suppose. And that's each one of us. Forgive us our debts, we pray. It is both a request and an acknowledgement that as far as God is concerned, the debt has been paid, has been forgiven, has been canceled forevermore. When we pray those words, we acknowledge that. And we might begin to think about those people that we feel owe us a debt in some small, petty, minuscule way. And we will talk about those people next week. Amen.